Welcome to Jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We start our second hour. It is a three-hour program. And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are efforting Pete Thamel. Want to talk some college football and some college basketball with him? We will do so momentarily. Dear Rome, Matt in L.A. definitely adds value to your show. Regards, Kyle Brandt taking a deuce in the nice house that he was looking to buy. Eric in Colorado. He wasn't looking to buy that house. It was an open house. And when you got to go, you got to go. I mean, it happens, right? Have you ever been in an open house and had to use the restroom? It happens to us all. All right, so let me set the second hour up really quickly. I talked about the Dodger half of the trade. I still want to get to my thoughts on the Red Sox. Red Sox fans, don't wait on me. I think you have a sense of where I'm going with this. I don't like it very much for you. I love it for L.A., but I don't like it very much for you. Do you like that deal or not? Do you feel like the team needed to hit the reset button? How do you feel about giving up on Mookie Betts? Yes, he had 1 year left on his deal. Yes, the two sides were not apparently close to a deal. Yeah, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot of money. I mean, he is Mookie Betts, MVP. So I will give you my thoughts on that a little bit later on. I'm watching the video still of the Kansas City Chiefs parade. They're having a blast, a sea of red. And I want to get into their celebration. Travis Kelce in particular, which I will hit later on. Knicks, go Knicks, right on the eve of the trade deadline. Only the Knicks fire their team president right before the trade deadline. And it's not even unusual. I mean, does that really surprise anybody at all? The Mets thought they had their franchise sold. Mets fans thought they had a savior. And apparently at the last second, that went into the tank. All of that coming up. Also coming up this hour, we'll talk some Saints football with Marcus Williams, a Saints DB. Next hour, John Morosi joins us. Gary Vaynerchuk joins me after the program for episode 115 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Gary V is always looking to invest in something. I'm curious to see what he's got for us today. What he's got for you clones. Dear Rome, I did it all for the Mookie. For the Mookie. So you can stick it up your yeah. Stick it up your yeah. Signed, Andrew Friedman. Jack in La Habra, currently working in Azusa. War Clay Hilton getting fired on the tarmac after losing to Bama by 50. I like that enough, Alvin. I think I might do that one more time. For the Mookie. For the Mookie. For the Mookie. Yeah. Stick it up your yeah. It's not bad, Jack. It's not good, but it's not bad. Rome Slice. I could listen to Matt in L.A., and Yoko all day long. Regards, Marley Matlin. Same guy, Geoff. Geoff and Lincoln. Hey, Adam, anytime you want to stop bringing me that guy's crap, you go right ahead. You go ahead and do that. If any of you happen to bump into Pete Thamel, let him know that I'm looking for him. He's on the clock. We'll find him momentarily. All right, let's get a phone call in. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to South Dakota, Joe. It's good to have you, Joe. How are you?
Hey, Jim. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan, but I want to tip my cap to the Dodgers. They just stole home plate with the bases loaded. And the only way I could cope is I can't pull out any more hair because I don't have that much left. I just have to remind myself that the Red Sox also unloaded Boggs, Clemens, Pedro, Nomar, Damon, and others, and still managed to win occasionally after that. So I have to hold on to what I can. But I think you were dead right when you said about the bean towners. After all, Boston is bean town. So that's all I can say for now. I have to calm down a little bit. Thank you.
You got it, Joe. Hang in there. Joe in South Dakota.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Don't pull out what hair you have left. He said, look, I'll tip my hat. They got over. They jammed us hard on that trade, but we have lost other guys. That's true. A lot of the other guys you mentioned did go on to other things, had success, and, you know, no one guy's bigger than the franchise. I'm just looking at that one guy right now, and I'm looking at the numbers he's put up. I'm looking at what he's accomplished. I'm looking at the fact that he came through your system. That's one of your own. And you groom this guy. You invest in this guy. It paid off. He's 27. The guy can do it all. The guy can literally do it all. He is one of the best players in Major League Baseball. He's just 27. Why are you going to let that guy go? And if the answer is, well, we weren't sure that we could re-sign him. Why not? You're the Red Sox. Why can you not re-sign Mookie Betts? And as I mentioned, if this was a situation where you'd been beaten down and not competitive and you had to do a complete reset, fine. Except this is a team that won a world championship less than 2 years ago. So why do you need to reset that? You know, if you want to say to me that, yeah, David Price, he doesn't fit, we want to get out from underneath that contract, that's fine. But don't trade Mookie Betts in order to get rid of David Price. Like, you're going to throw that guy in. Like, man, how do we get rid of Price? Never mind that Price was a big reason why you won it all in 2018. But how do we get rid of Price? How do we get rid of that contract? Man, I don't know. Nobody's going to take that. We better give Mookie Betts away. Then maybe somebody will take that contract. What kind of thinking is that? All right, so yesterday, towards the end of the show, I talked about all the different ways that the Chiefs were celebrating their Super Bowl win on Sunday night. We talked about Patrick Mahomes going to Disney World. We talked about Derek Nnadi paying adoption fees for 91 shelter dogs. We talked about Big Red, Andy Reid, murdering a double cheeseburger and spinning some pit bull records. And right now, as I speak, as I mentioned, the world's biggest party is happening in Kansas City at a parade. 50 years in the making. Trust me, you know I'll be running back some of the best moments from that tomorrow on the program. Just know that that parade started at 11:30 in the morning, Kansas City time, which means that fans were lined up getting their spots the night before in freezing temps. I told you, I've seen this firsthand when I was at the AFC Championship game and we arrived at 7:30 in the morning for a 2 p.m. kick. I saw a line snake all the way down the hill back into town. It's the least surprising thing ever that people lined up overnight for this. Kansas City loves their Chiefs. They don't give a damn about the weather. The weather does not impact them. It does not affect them. I saw it. Now, in order to get back to Kansas City, though, they had to get on a plane to get out of South Florida. And let's just say they were not crammed into some economy bird jockeying for legroom and elbowing for armrests. I'm pretty sure no one walked on that chartered flight and was told that they were first on the downgrade list. No names mentioned, me. Just like I'm 100% sure they were not ordering their beers off a drink cart with any drink tickets. Nope, I'm 100% certain of that because Travis Kelce posted a video yesterday of one of the best beer chugs that I've ever seen in my life. Athletes chugging beer is nothing new. In fact, it's a documented ritual at this point. David Bakhtiari went goat in a Milwaukee Bucks game last year. Remember? He put down like a six-pack in about a minute while Aaron Rodgers just put his own beer down. I mean, literally. My man just put the cup on the floor after finishing about half of it. We've all seen it. We've seen the good. We've seen the great. We've seen the bad. We've seen the embarrassing. We've seen it all when it comes to beer chugging. In 2020, you'd think there was no new way, no different way to chug a beer. Everything had been done, but you'd be wrong. Leave it to a Kelce brother to invent some sort of brand new level of awesomeness. Remember, Jason Kelce went household as a lineman with his act at the Philly Parade a couple of years back. But brother Travis did not even wait to get the wheels down to live up to that family name. In a video posted to Instagram last night, he is seen in the walkway, the aisle of the airplane, 30,000 feet up, going bottoms up off the Lombardi Trophy. Now think about that piece of hardware for a second. If ever there were an anti-drinking vessel, it's that. No bowl, no cup, no hope. Just the oddest shaped ball in all sports, welded to a stick. But, Kelsey, keeping in mind the mother of all invention, found a way, invented a way, because he turned that thing into a luge. One of his teammates is holding the Lombardi at an angle while Kelsey perfectly and artistically pours 12 ounces of domestic right down the side of the trophy and straight into his gap. The creativity and the execution is legendary. It is absolutely off the charts. It is flawless. It is meticulous. This is somebody who pays attention to his craft. Not a single drop spilled.
Oh, he's chugging it.
You have to visualize this. I don't have a video. And it's not hard to find, but if you haven't seen it, close your eyes and visualize this guy dumping a domestic down the Lombardi and not spilling a single drop. It's amazing. Jerry Jones and his crew couldn't even remotely hold still to do the mannequin challenge on their private jet a few years back. Remember? Yet here's Kelsey bouncing around on an airplane a mile high, perfectly pouring an entire can of beer right down the Lombardi into his face and not spilling a single drop. It's incredible, and it's so on brand for the Kelsey fam. He captioned the video by saying, quote, "Growing up playing hockey, I always wanted to chug out of the Stanley Cup after being crowned a champion. No cup on the Lombardi, so I decided to take a ride down the Lombardi luge.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to party!"
Dumping Budweisers on your face and not getting any down your throat and calling it a chug was already lame as hell. Travis Kelce just canceled all that completely. From Rob Gronkowski bunting a fastball and denting the Lombardi. Remember when he got down that perfect sacrifice bunt? To Travis Kelce turning it, the Lombardi, into a beer luge. One thing is clear. The Lombardi is now most creatively used in the paws of a tight end. Nobody should be allowed to touch that thing except a tight end. Kittle is next. I can't wait to see what this guy does at the parade. And again, we'll have that tomorrow. Until then, Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs now has company for all time airplane drinking exploits. The video is perfect. The execution is perfect. I mean, I'd say if I didn't know any better, that's not the first time he's done that, but it had to have been the first time he's done that. Unless Broham let him get his hands on the trophy. But isn't there a superstition involved? You're not drinking off the Lombardi luge until you win the Lombardi, right? There's no way Travis did that before. That's my opinion. All right, I'm still efforting Pete Thamel. I want to get his thoughts on the Michigan State situation. That's ugly. Also, I want to get his thoughts on some ACC basketball. That's coming up. Marcus Williams also coming up. John Morosi coming up. ATP coming up. My thoughts on the Red Sox coming up and more. Meantime, it is O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So stop in today for store-wide savings. You can earn double O Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. If you're not an O Rewards member yet, then head on over to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store and sign up right now and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, it's easy, it's free, but you want to make sure you hurry. Double points are only available for a limited time. Also for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of BrakeBest pads and two BrakeBest rotors. So when your car is not stopping the way it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the very first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. Stop in today or visit online. Rack up double O Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Trade deadline coming up in the NBA, so the Knicks are preparing for that by firing their president. That's coming up later on. So this weekend, the party on the green moves to one of the most sensational public courses on the PGA Tour, Pebble Beach. Doesn't get any better than that. Coverage of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am begins Saturday and Sunday, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific on CBS. One of the best events on the calendar. All right, so the way things shake down this show, sometimes we have a guest and then we can't find the guest, and that provides you an opportunity. So if you want to call, call right now, 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I talked about the Dodgers. What about the Red Sox side? I'm still looking for you Red Sox fans to come in here and share your thoughts on that big trade. To me, it's pretty ugly. They just traded their best homegrown player in decades, right? So if you're going to do that, you better get a hell of a lot in return. But exactly what do they get in return? A nice player who is going to be LA's third or fourth outfielder. Let me read you some numbers on Mookie Betts, because I want to underline this, because I want to be very, very clear about what the Red Sox just did. I want to be very, very clear on who the Red Sox just traded. Mookie Betts made his Major League debut in June of 2014. Since that time, Betts leads all of baseball in runs and doubles. In that time, he was second in extra base hits, fourth in total hits in all of baseball. He's been an all-star every single year since 2016. A Gold Glove winner every year since 2016. A Silver Slugger winner in three of those years. The AL MVP, a batting champ, and a World Series winner in 2018. All right? All these things, and easily the most exciting and charismatic Red Sox player, and he was all theirs. They drafted him. He came up through their system. He won a World Series with them, and now he's gone. Just like that. Actually, check that. He's gone, and David Price is gone with him. And apparently, they're going to send millions of dollars as well. Now, it's not all bad news, right? They must have done that for a reason. They must get something out of that. It's not all bad news, Red Sox fans. I mean, to me, the trade itself is embarrassing. However, you did get something out of this. You got below the luxury tax threshold. Raise a pennant for that one. Fire up. We all love the Red Sox. That's a big win right there. No luxury tax, yo. How awesome is that? Man, I am so pumped. I'm so pumped that your Excel spreadsheets are going to look so good. Hell yes. Gas up the duck boats. We're having a parade for getting below the luxury tax threshold. Anything to hear that song again. Who needs to chase a World Series when you can chase the things that really matter most? When you can chase exciting things like resetting the penalty rate to the minimum. That's why you're in it, right? Isn't that what you want to pass on to your kids? Isn't that what you want to pass on to your son? Hey, son, remember where we were when they got under the threshold? That's what I'm talking about. That's what gets me fired up. Yeah, I don't remember going to ball games with my dad. I don't remember going to the postseason with my dad. I don't remember going to the World Series with my dad. But, man, I will never forget the time they got under that luxury tax threshold. Me and my old man will always have that. If you're looking to inspire the next generation of baseball fans, I mean, what do you want? Do you really want one of the more charismatic, exciting players in the game? A guy with a name that every kid loves to say? Nah, you don't want that. What kid wants that? What gets kids excited these days is not somebody who can hit for the cycle, not somebody who brings the heat and the electricity every single night. No, that's not what kids today connect with. If you're paying attention, you know this. What kids today connect with is accounting. Grand slams are whack. They're boring. You know what's exciting? Maximizing revenue, payroll flexibility, RBI. Psst, please. Psst,
please.
ROI is the new RBI. So take a step back for a minute. This comes down to two things, right? Either the Red Sox could not afford to pay Mookie Betts, which means baseball is in trouble, or the Red Sox didn't want to pay Mookie Betts, which means baseball is in trouble. Because this is not some small market team giving up on an elite player. These are the Boston Red Sox. The Boston freaking Red Sox. And they're waving the white flag. They're allegedly worth more than $3 billion with a B. And they're trying like crazy to get under the luxury tax threshold. I mean, what was that? Gutless? Greedy? Both? Again, this is not some team that's been struggling for a long time. It's a team that won the World Series like 15 months ago. And now it looks like they're trading their best player in a fire sale. Well, actually, what it looks like is they cheated their way to the 2018 World Series, got caught, and now they're just giving up. Now, what a couple of weeks it's been for the Red Sox fans. I'm not going to try to compare the Red Sox dealing Mookie Betts to the Red Sox trading Babe Ruth. But it is the last time they traded a player this young and this good. And yes, I know the Red Sox farm system is not that good. I understand. I know it needs replenishing. But they did not even accomplish that with this deal. Once again, if you had gotten one of the Dodgers' top prospects, that'd be one thing. But you didn't. You're not replenishing your farm system with this deal. I also know that Betts seemed interested in testing free agency. I also know that when the two sides had conversations about contracts, there was a huge gap between what the Red Sox offered and what Betts wanted. Except I have no sympathy for that, right? Unless you have another Mookie Betts waiting, then you hand the actual Mookie Betts, who you already have under contract, a blank check. Because again, we're not just talking about a nice player here. We're talking about a potential Hall of Famer. We're talking about potentially retired jerseys. That kind of a player. The trajectory that he was on would suggest we were talking about that. And if you're offering $300 million over 10 years, and this guy wants $420 million over 12, allegedly, then what do you say you find a way to make that work? Because this guy is worth paying. Even overpaying. In fact, I'm not even sure you can overpay for a player like that. And if you offered him everything that he wanted, and he still didn't want to be there, then somehow, somewhere, you failed. Because the entire point of having a baseball team is to get players like Mookie Betts. And you had one. You want players like Mookie Betts, and you want them in your lineup, and you want them in your jersey as long as possible, and you had him. And there are so few guys like that, and you had him, and he came through your system. You want guys like that. You don't trade them away in salary dumps. You don't trade them away as the sweetener in a deal to get somebody to take David Price's contract off your hands. I mean, if that's your MO, why even bother having a team? Seriously, why are you involved in baseball if you can't either write the check to Betts or figure out a way to keep Betts? What's the point? Go do something else. The point of baseball is to win games. At least it's supposed to be. The point of having a farm system is to develop players like Mookie Betts, which you did. And then you keep them. You don't give them away in trades. Like, I hate that I have to explain this, but it's becoming a reoccurring theme in sports. If you own a team, you pay players. That's how that goes. That's how that works. And you pay players what they're worth. If you have one of the three best players in baseball, it would stand to reason you're going to pay him one of the highest contracts in baseball. And you still come out ahead because of TV revenue, merchandise, ticket revenue, and exorbitant concession stand prices. You see, in baseball, the team is the house. The house always wins, even if it complains that it's not winning. Like, the game is rigged, and it's rigged in favor of MLB teams. So much so, it's not even funny. The teams hold the rights to the players for a long, long time. They manipulate service time. They keep guys in the minors longer so they can squeeze out more time on low-price contracts. And then, when it is time to actually pay the players what they're worth, then they whine. Then they complain about the luxury tax threshold. A luxury tax threshold that they themselves imposed. And then they say, we can't afford him. And then they dump the player.
You have a big dump.
So, you can sign this guy and pay him what he's worth and be the adult in the room. Or you could trade him for a third or fourth outfielder and a guy who might be a decent arm. Yeah, maybe that arm turns out to be even better. Maybe that outfielder turns out to be a star. You still have to live with the fact that you just traded the best homegrown player you had in decades. And if that trade weren't embarrassing enough, and it is, you're also giving LA money. They're paying Betts and Price to play somewhere else. And you did it when the guy was 27. We haven't even seen the best of this guy yet. And now you won't. And nor do you deserve to. I don't know, Red Sox fan. Keep telling yourself it's fine. That it was fiscally responsible. No, you did get under the threshold. I'll give you that. You'll always know where you were. Not when they traded Betts, but when you got under the threshold for the luxury tax. You might not win a championship anytime soon, but your rich owner is going to get richer. When we come back, we change up on you. Talk some Saints football. I'll take your thoughts, Red Sox fans. You all right with that? Do you think that was smart? Do you think that was responsible? Marcus Williams is next. John Morosi at the top. But first up, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right through it halfway. In the middle of hour number two, I'm Jim Rome. All right, if you're on hold, you want to hang in there. Gary V is going to be the subject of the Jim Rome podcast. We'll push that out a little bit later on. But right now, we are talking Saints football. We're joined right now by a safety for the New Orleans Saints. He had an enormous season. 54 tackles, 13 passes defensed, 4 INTs. He had a touchdown. He had a forced fumble this past season. He led the team in interceptions. He was one of Pro Football Focus's top 40 players this season. He was an all-Pac-12 player at Utah. He was the 42nd pick overall in 2017. The Saints were the NFC South champs. They were 13-3. Marcus Williams is my guest. Marcus, good to have you back. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm great. How about yourself?
Good, good. Listen, before we talk football, I know you're in New York for Fashion Week. All right, so take me back. How did that first come to be, and how hyped are you for Fashion Week?
Oh, I'm super hyped. I got Rachel Perkins, got me on Fashion Week out here, so it's a great opportunity to be out here with my brother as well, just to get some exposure and be able to be out here with all these great designers and models as well.
I like it. So what's your role in Fashion Week? Are you there to watch, or are you there to walk?
I'm walking today, actually.
How you feel about that? You nervous?
I mean, I feel good about it. I feel like I can walk like a bottle. I mean, I don't know how big of a stage it's going to be, but I mean, I think I could do it.
Marcus Williams, my guest. All right, so how would you describe your personal style?
Man, I mean, I don't have that much style right now. I'm trying to get it better little by little. A little stingy with my money, so I haven't bought as much clothes. So, you know, just being out here, being able to see what other styles and fashion there is, just gives me an idea of what I want to be dressing like.
I get it. Marcus Williams, my guest. All right, one more thought. I can't ask you about, well, let me ask you about the best dressed guys. I mean, like, you play with Cameron Jordan. He's not afraid to break out some pretty strong looks. Who are some of the better dressed guys on the team? Guys who have more style?
Shoot. I mean, Alvin has some good style. He comes with different type of style every time. So when I see him, I'm like, okay. And then Marshawn Lattimore and Von Bell, they come with their every game. Von Bell is wears a suit, looks real nice, nice watches. So when I see him walk in, I'm like, okay, that's how I want to dress too.
All right, so give me a guy or two who needs some help.
Some help? Shoot, me. I'm the one who needs the help. I'm the one who needs to get right.
Well, that's why you're there. They'll take care of you. Marcus Williams joining us. All right, so I'm glad you're there. Let me shift over to football really quickly. The season did not end the way that you or the team would have liked, obviously. How'd you go about dealing with that sting of the season ending? How long does that stay with you?
Man, it stays with you. You know, you don't want to end the season on an L. You know you want to get to the last game and get the end the last game on the W. So it kind of hurts, but, you know, we have to get through it. And it's going to hurt probably until the first game of the year when we get back going and get our win. But right now, you know, it hurts. It's going to drive in the whole offseason, getting ready for the regular season coming up next year.
Marcus Williams is my guest. Now, I mentioned you were coming off a season where you led the team in INTs, and now you lead the team in picks. Since you arrived, on top of that, again, you were rated by PFF as one of their top 40 players in the entire league last season. How proud were you of the performance over the course of the year individually?
I mean, it was average for me. I feel like I could be able to do more. There's a lot of plays left out there on the field that you wish you could have back and wish you can go make those plays to make more plays. You know, I'm never satisfied with anything that I'd really do until it's the best that I could do, because I just want to be the best. And if I'm not to where I'm supposed to be in my part, then, you know, I just feel like I need to get better. So I'm going to do better on my part to make those plays coming in next year. But, I mean, for my year this year, I feel like it was just average.
You know, you feel like it was just average. The numbers might suggest otherwise, but I can respect where you're coming from. Either you're getting better or you're not. You're going the other way. But you really did have a strong, strong year. Do you feel like you get the respect you deserve around the league, or are people still sleeping on you, and does that motivate you?
Yeah, I feel like they kind of sleep on me, but it does motivate me, because I always have that chip on my shoulder, and I just want to get better each and every game and show what I could do. Because you're only as good as your last game that you play. So, I feel like I did a lot of great things, but there's a lot of more great things to come.
We're talking to Marcus Williams of the Saints. Now, you're part of a starting secondary that's young, but really, really good already. How would you describe the chemistry of that group, and how were you guys able to get on the same page as quickly as you have?
We've grown a long way from the beginning, just coming in together and being able to go through, you know, the ups and the downs. It brings you together. And everybody's bought into the culture, so we go to practice knowing that we need to practice a certain way, and then we have to translate that to the field. So our guys are bought in, and, you know, we're just trying to get better, and we try to make each other better. And there's nobody on our team with ego, so if I'm doing wrong, they tell me. If they're doing wrong, I'm able to tell them, and nobody's getting mad, because we know we're trying to get each other better.
You know, it seems to me like if you're a young player and you get to the NFL, it could be so overwhelming and all-encompassing, but you found time to do other things. For instance, when you and I talked back in November, we talked about your journey to Utah and what your time at Utah meant to you. And then I had Kyle Whittingham on the show not long after that, and he talked about how much you meant to Utah. What we haven't had a chance to talk about, though, is the fact that last year you graduated from Utah. What was that moment like for you?
It was amazing. Just being able to graduate and now be an alumni means a lot, just because I always want to finish what I start, and I never want to quit on anything. So I just continue to work and continue to work towards getting my degree. And it means a lot to my mom to see that I got my degree and finished what I started. And my dad always told me, if you commit to something, you got to be fully committed. You got to go as hard as you can until you finish. So I did that, and it was a great opportunity to walk on that stage and be with some of the other guys that I was with.
You know, I guess you kind of answered it, but that whole thing about why do you go to college? I mean, I know there's more to it than this. I feel strongly about this, but a lot of people would say you go to college to get a good job. You have an amazing job. You entered the draft early. You got drafted. You immediately started to fight for a starting spot on one of the best teams in football. You were killing it, and you had a lot on your plate. I know you just answered this in part, but why was it so important to keep studying and keep pursuing that degree, or to do it as quickly as you did? You could have put that off.
Just because when I'm older and I have kids and And I'm talking to younger kids about finishing stuff and never quitting and never giving up and to go to school. I want them to know that I did and I never quit, even when I already made it to the league. My job wasn't finished until I got my degree and I got the paper. And it just means a lot that I could tell them that I continue to work for it. No matter where I was at, my job wasn't done. And if I quit, then I wouldn't be able to tell them that. So I just want to be able to have that in my bag to tell them.
100% respect. You'll always have that, and you should be proud of that. And one of the topics surrounding the team has been, of course, the future of Drew Brees and whether or not he's going to retire. He said that he wanted to wait until football was completely done for the year before he made that decision, understandably. Like, Marcus, from an outside looking in, it seems like he's still playing the game at a really high level. In fact, almost as high or as high as ever before. What do you make of what you saw from him on the field last year?
It just seems like he's getting better. Well, from the last 3 years, he just continued to grow his game, and he never stops working. He never stops finding a new way to grow, and he just shows each and every one of us, no matter how far you are in the game, there's still something to learn, and there's still more that you can work on. So he's a total leader, somebody that you can look up to, somebody that you follow, and that's just Drew Brees.
Yeah, there'll never be another Drew Brees, but in the event that he does retire, the team does have a number of options that they could look at if he does. But can you imagine what it would feel like if he announced he was retiring? Like, what would that feel like?
Man, I can't even tell you right now. But I'm sure the guys that come in will step up and they'll do a great job. And, you know, since they've been in there following after Drew, they'll just be just great.
He was an all Pac-12 player at Utah. He was the 42nd pick overall in 2017, coming off a big year. Led the team in interceptions. As I mentioned, one of PFF's top 40 players this season, and he is kicking it at Fashion Week. Marcus Williams, my guest. Marcus, good to have you back. Great to get caught up. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me again.
You got it. Marcus Williams at Fashion Week. All right, so we're looking ahead to hour number three. Let me reset this thing really quickly. Dodgers, Red Sox, blockbuster trade. The Dodgers, I think, got over in a huge way. Mookie Betts under contract for one more year. I know it might be a rental. I don't care. They didn't give up that much to get him. The Red Sox are going to give them some money to take him and David Price. I love that deal for the Dodgers. And again, there was a lot of talk about how they missed on Rendon. They missed on Cole. What are they doing? Are they happy winning the West every single year? No. Andrew Friedman was doing Andrew Friedman things, planning his work, working his plan, waiting on this, and he pulled the trigger. Got a big deal done. And they get a 27-year-old potential Hall of Famer in Mookie Betts. I know why they did what they did. I'm trying to figure out what the hell the Red Sox did. There's got to be a better answer than we want to be fiscally responsible. We want to get under the luxury tax. It's a team that won it all 15 months ago. How you giving up on this guy? Yeah, well, we really don't want David Price. Yeah, debatable. I could talk about whether or not that's the right move or not. But it's not the right move if you need to get rid of Mookie Betts in order to get rid of David Price. And by the way, I still think David Price is banged up as he is and has been. I still think he'll be better served with a new opportunity. New coast, new league. Oh, hello, Mr. President. Watch that camera, Ike. Dude, that old head of yours would have splattered everywhere. Uh-oh. That was close. That was the closest thing to an on-air collision with the camera and one of the members of the XR4TI since Adam Hawk smashed his dome. And we've all done it, myself included. Only Hawk has done it live during the show, and Ike almost did. He almost got deked when I addressed him because he swung around to look at me, coming right at the camera. Now, if New York were on their game, they would have moved the camera on the track and smashed him. Come on, New York. Hey, Rome, what an awful trade. Red Sox, get crushed. Signed Bo Diaz, trading his cable box for satellite. Lee in Vancouver. I don't get that, Lee. John Morosi joins me when we come back.